be here tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 15 tonight. Thankful for the talent the Lord's given these youth. I mean, that's just a blessing to see that. We don't see that a lot in this world, to sing praises to our Lord. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of that. And tonight, the Lord's led me to this passage in Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the first 7 verses, and we're going to talk about a little bit different view of what most people would preach on. But I believe it's exactly what the Lord wants us to hear. So I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And in Luke chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 through 7. The title tonight is The Joy of Repentance. The joy. Let's read these first 7 verses. The Bible says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 3, And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? Verse 5, And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. There's the word. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need of no repentance. Let's pray. Father, I'm overwhelmed and I'm just so thankful to be able to preach your word tonight. Lord, how you could use somebody like me and how you could use people, Lord, to just share your word. I'm just so thankful. And I just pray that you would have your will tonight, Lord. I pray that you would speak. I pray you give me the words to say, Father, that would be pleasing to you and pleasing to heaven. And I pray, God, that whatever happens in this service, that you be all in the middle of it. And I pray, God, you bless this time as we share the word. And I pray you'd bless the invitation time, Lord. If there be somebody in this place that's that lost sheep, that they'd be found tonight. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. So the joy of repentance, this is the title because when we read this scripture, we read these few verses in Luke 15, most of the time you're going to hear about the lost sheep and you're going to hear about how far out he was and you're going to hear about how he came home. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That is a blessed thing to know the lost sheep comes back to the shepherd and the shepherd comes and finds him. But the way the Lord's kind of led this down tonight is when we read this passage, most of the time we focus on the lost sheep. Sometimes we miss the shepherd. Sometimes we miss the joy of that sheep coming to the shepherd. We always focus sometimes on the doom and gloom, how dirty that sheep was, how far away that sheep was. And if I'm not careful in my own life, I'll miss the shepherd. I'll miss the man it's all about, and that's Jesus Christ, my shepherd. And so we're going to look at a few people in this passage that rejoiced and that are joyful that that sheep came home. And so verse number 5 is the first place. The first person, I'm thankful for this, the first person you see that rejoices when the sheep comes home is the shepherd. The shepherd rejoices. And it says in verse number 5, let's read 4 and 5. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? In verse 5, And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. It's a good thing to know that God rejoices when that sinner comes to know Christ. It's a blessed thing to know that as a sheep, as somebody that's lost and undone, when I came to Christ, he didn't bring out my sins and my flaws and my failures. He welcomed me into the family. welcomed me home. It's a joyful thing to know Christ, and that it's a joyful thing to know that I'm not condemned when I come to Christ. The Bible says in John 3:17 that God came in this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The shepherd rejoices. He cares about you tonight. He cares about that sheep that's wayward. Just as much as he cares about the 99 that may be where they're supposed to be, he cares about that one that's gone. He cares about that one that is so far out. And this scripture tells me that the shepherd rejoices. He cared enough to go deep into the wilderness. If you want to look at verse 4, it says the shepherd goes into the wilderness. Verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The shepherd didn't care how far in the wilderness that sheep was, did he? Didn't care how far gone. And we preach that a lot here, and that is so true. It does not matter how far out. It doesn't matter how deep you are in the wilderness where it's dark and it's cold and it's awful. It cares to know that the shepherd wants you. It's not about me, it's about the shepherd wanting to come and to rescue me from the wilderness. And I wrote this down. The shepherd not only cares about me, but he continues after me. He continues. When I don't want him, you know what happens? He don't give up. Verse number 4, at the end of it, it says, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after which is lost. Here's the word, until. Until he find it. He doesn't search for a little while and look out in that wilderness and say, where's my sheep? And he can't find it. He just goes on to somebody else. That's not what it says. You know why that shepherd rejoices so much that sheep's found? Because number one, he cares and that he continues. He continues to search even when I did not care about God. And if we're all honest, there was a time before we knew him that we didn't care about God. And we cared about everything else. Cared about pleasing the world. Cared about pleasing my boyfriend and my girlfriend and my husband and my wife and my family. And didn't care about God. But I thank God he continued. He continued. The Bible says when I was in Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us when I was yet a sinner. Not when I was right. That's the joy of the gospel. When I was dead in my trespasses and sins, he died for me. He cared enough to continue after me. And then verse number 5, he picks me up and he carries me. Verse number 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And I wrote this question down. Why did he pick me up? Why does the shepherd have to pick the sheep up in the wilderness? I feel like if that sheep would have had the opportunity, he would have went back to the flock. You're not comfortable out in the wilderness. It's not a good place to be out in the wilderness. And if you're a believer in this place, you know what I'm talking about. It's not good to be a far away from the flock. It's not a good thing to happen. I think about when we were suffering with COVID and we couldn't meet in here all the time. Even though we had parking lot service, it's just a little bit different. Would you agree with me? When you get in the house of God, that spirit's different. When you step into the house of God, God sits down. And that shepherd carries me when I cannot be carried. If the sheep had a choice, he'd have went back home. If he wouldn't have got lost out in the wilderness and couldn't find his way, he'd have went back home. It's more comfortable. The sheep was unable to go home. If he wasn't unable, he wouldn't have been lost. And if he'd have knew his way back, he wouldn't have been the lost sheep. And that's sometimes what we deal with if we're trying to seek lost sheep out in the world. It's not that they don't want Christ. They don't know the way. And I have an opportunity as being a part of that flock to show them the way to the shepherd. And he'll draw them in When it gets dark, you know what he does? He continues. When it gets, and we reread these scriptures about how the sheep was in the wilderness. Sometimes out in the wilderness, it's a dangerous place. You're not next to the shepherd who takes care of you. You're not next to the flock. You're not next to anything. You're lost. Dead. And you need the shepherd to rescue you. And that shepherd, what he does in verse 5, and when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. He gets down on his knees, and this is a representation. Jesus reaches down in my dead and my trespasses and sins and picks me up and puts me on the shoulders of Christ. That's how much he cares about me. That's how much he continues. And when he does that, he carries me back into the flock. Man, the shepherd is rejoicing in verse number 5. Number 2 in verse number 6. You see, the friends and the neighbors rejoice as well. And it says this in verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I'm going to ask a question right here because I feel like it's necessary. You ever been to a party and nobody showed up? I feel like you've heard stories of like back when so-and-so was a kid, they had a third birthday party, three-years-old birthday party. They invited all their friends. They didn't show up. And that child is scarred for the rest of their life. You ever heard a story like that? I've heard it. And they're scarred for the rest of their life because nobody showed up to the party. And the shepherd, when he gets here, he's so happy that that sheep has come. When God saved you, he's joyful that you're in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life when you come back into the family. And when he picks you up, then he goes and tells his friends and his neighbors is a representation of what I should do. Go and tell my friends and my neighbors that Jesus saves. And I believe the scripture gives us a perfect picture is that we as believers have an obligation. We have an obligation. That when somebody, and I think about this in this church, when somebody comes to know Christ, or somebody gets redeemed, or somebody gets healed, or some prayer has been answered, it's my job and your job to rejoice as the family. If we don't, who's going to? I want to go to Romans chapter 12 for just a minute. And we're not going to stay there long, but this scripture points out something in this text. And I have an obligation, and you do too. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Not only does that shepherd rejoice, but everybody around him rejoices. When we think about that sheep coming back, God saves that individual or restores them. They're now brought back into the flock, and everybody's rejoicing. It says in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So if I have a brother or a sister or if I have somebody lost that comes to know Christ or gets their life right with the Lord, it's not my job to go back and look at their past sins. It's not my job to go back and say, well, what about this part or what about who or who did you wrong or this and that and this and that? Because the world does enough of that. Would you agree with that? Man, the world does enough complaining and abusing, and that's like the sheep in the wilderness. He's beat down and he's doom and gloom all that time in the wilderness because the world is the one beating on him. But when that child comes back into the family, I must rejoice. Number one, because my shepherd rejoices. And then number two, because the Bible tells me so. Think about that verse we talked about in the prayer room this morning. All the power that the Holy Ghost gives us. And Jesus says, don't boast in that. You boast because your name's written in heaven. When all life is gone and it's over and there's nothing left, the only thing that matters is not what people think about me, but it's about is my name written in the Lamb's book of life. The shepherd rejoices. He goes and tells the friends and the family and the neighbors, and then they have a party. Because one person comes to know Christ. The last thing tonight is in verse number 7, we see the shepherd rejoices. He goes and tells the friends and the neighbors, they rejoice. But I'd say, and it's an important thing to know, that the kingdom of heaven rejoices. Everybody on this earth, they're around those people and they're rejoicing because somebody comes to know Christ. But it's another thing to know that the kingdom of heaven, there's a lot more people in the kingdom of heaven right now than in this room, I'd say. And that they are rejoicing because somebody got right with God. The verse says this, Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise, just like everybody else, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. When you read this scripture, it's all about quality over quantity. Quality. It says the kingdom of heaven rejoices not for the 99, but for the one. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. If you want a goal in life, don't try to save the masses. Save one. Share the gospel to one. Be a disciple. Be an encourager. Share your heart. Not to everybody. Not everybody's going to get it. But there's somebody that needs to hear that you love them. And there's one person that needs to hear that Jesus loves them with all of his heart. He rejoices. And it says the kingdom of heaven rejoices. And when you spoke this morning about the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. And we're talking about quality over quantity. It says just a few verses later that they start asking about Jesus. Peter shares the gospel and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom that day. And I got to thinking about that for a minute. What if 5,000 people went up to the altar? What if 5,000 people said they came to know Christ? What does that do about the Bible? Well, the thing about it is God's all about quality over quantity. And it says in that scripture in Acts 2, it doesn't say 5,000. It doesn't say whoever came to the altar. It didn't say whoever cried out. It says 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom that day. I don't know how many people went, but I know how many got saved. And the most important thing about our life, about being in youth ministry or being a pastor, is it's about quality over quantity. When you're living for Jesus, and when you're a child of God, there's one person that you can reach. Always one person. The Bible tells me that true repentance, and we go back to that passage in Acts. Not everybody, I'm sure that a lot of people come to the altar, and they may have said they gave their life to Christ, but they didn't call on the name of the Lord. We see that in churches around here. That you may come to an altar because your friend drug you up here and then you walk out unchanged because you didn't ask the Lord to save you. Quality over quantity. And the Bible tells me, if you want to go ahead and go there, John chapter 3, we'll read a verse of Scripture, that true repentance is necessary for the kingdom of heaven to rejoice. Let's read John chapter 3. Not a false repentance. Not a, I'm caught. Is that God caught me. It ain't about my friends or my family or my husband and wife. It's not about them catching me. It's about the man who sits on the throne in heaven. That's Holy Ghost conviction. And it says in John chapter 3, verse number 3, there must be true repentance. Verse number 3 of John 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not about crying out. It's not about asking for forgiveness for somebody you've wronged in this room. It's about being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven move, is when one sinner repents and comes to know Christ. True repentance is necessary for the shepherd to rejoice. True repentance is necessary for the friends and neighbors to rejoice, and it's true repentance for the kingdom of heaven to rejoice. And so I'm going to close with this question. We read these scriptures, we see there's rejoicing in repentance. And I want to ask a question. Has there ever been true repentance in your life? I'm not asking you, have you went up to somebody and said, forgive? I'm not asking you. I'm asking you if you've done business with Jesus Christ. Because when you do business with the shepherd, and when you do business with the Lord, that is true repentance. Getting to know Christ and coming back into the family of God, that's what it is. So my question I'll leave you with is heaven rejoicing in your life? Because your name's written in heaven, because you've truly repented of your sins. Let's pray. Come on up, worship team. Father, I just come before you and I thank you so much for what you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for these body of believers. And I pray, Lord, if somebody's in here and they've not given their life to Christ, or Father, they're wayward or they're out in the wilderness, I pray that you would tug on their heartstrings tonight. Lord, I pray that your will would be done. And I pray whatever need is tonight that you would meet it. Lord God, I pray you'd show up in this time of invitation. And I thank you for Jesus. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.